Well, today I want to bring to you a very message that we find in verses 4 to 8 of 1 Peter. We know I don't have to shout because 1 Peter already is a place that has really touched many lives. And even today, through the testimony of Christy, we have heard how verse 7 of chapter 5, 1 Peter, has become central in her life. And not only that, even today, the occasion is seemed to fit because we have just welcomed her into the membership of the church, and actually is the very thing that Apostle Peter is telling us about. It's saying, it's as the images that he has given to the body of Christ. And so earlier he said, we are strangers in this world. We are chosen people. We are God's chosen people. And that is who we are here on earth. And I used to say, if I want to describe myself, say one of God's wandering people on earth, led by His Holy Spirit, guided by His truth. That is a great statement to embrace. And maybe you put it on the wall of your house. So, which means you are a stranger here on earth because God shows you to be His own. And Apostle Peter did this earlier. Elect strangers. Even not only in one place, scattered around the world. So God's people across the world are strangers. You see, wherever they might be found, even if you are in your own country, you are a stranger because you are not like the others. You are not like them because we have just even the songs today, they declare this clearly. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It what marked you out of everybody else. Anyone else who is not believing this is not your friend. We might have unbelieving friends, but we in the hope that they come to the Lord. So I want to get into the point. So what is the thing? So the Lord is saying you, being a stranger, also you are a spiritual house together. You are a spiritual house. So that is who we are as God's people. Even here this morning, we are a spiritual house. That is what the Lord says. We are a spiritual house because we have come to the living stone, because we have come to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is a stone that we read of. Maybe if you forget when who read the Bible, Michael. So it's just like here, as you have come to Him, the living stone, verse 4 of chapter 2, as you have come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house. You are being built into a spiritual house. Many years ago, even in this country, I was traveling in a public bus, a public transport. There were young people, fairly young, maybe about Christy's age. And so I just went up to them and I said, are you Christian guys? And then the other boy said to me, speak to this young guy, speak to the other guy. I said, what is your name? And his head was down. He said, my name was DM. And I said, what does that mean? DJ, I mean. What does that mean? Douglas John. Douglas John. And then his friend, I don't remember his name, said, this guy doesn't go to church. And then DJ, Douglas John, said to me, what happens if you believe in God and you don't go to church? That was his question. And then I just, as a way to answer teachers, sometimes they answer questions differently, isn't it? And then I said, I didn't say to him, what happens if you don't go to church? But I said to him, what happens when you go to church? You see? So when you go to church, you are part of a spiritual house. And being a part of a spiritual house, that means you are secure together with that spiritual house. So you are part of that spiritual house, and then you will enjoy what they are, actually. And being a spiritual house, that means these people, they know the Lord, they have been built on Jesus, because that is what happened. You have come and you believe in Jesus. Jesus, who is the living stone, the chosen one by God, set aside by God for our salvation. So as you come to Him, as you come and you believe in Him, as you believe with your heart and confess Him to be your Lord, and God raised Him from the dead, you are saved. And then that is how you have become part of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And the baptism that we have just seen here, that is a public declaration. That is a visible declaration of that crossing from the dead to life. And so that is really a clear demonstration of this person now is joining the body of Christ that is described here as the spiritual house. You see, that is so precious in God's sight. That is why many people, they think they can be Christian and they live on their own, but we together, we are being built on this firm foundation, Christ. So rejected by others, but you have accepted him. And those who have rejected him, and I will go back into the Old Testament soon, because that is where really these themes emerged, was prophesied about Christ to be the cornerstone. And anyone that will accept him will be built on a firm foundation on the Son of God. You got God on your side. You now have discovered the very purpose for which God has created you. You are so precious. Because now, Jesus Christ, who is so precious, first is a cornerstone, a living stone, and you are becoming now part of that living stone. You are now also like living stone. You, like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house. You are becoming what Jesus is, or who Jesus is. So you become one with him. You draw your existence, your being, your identity from Jesus. You see, so Jesus, who is so precious in his Father's sight, now you also, like Jesus, not only precious, but also precious in God's sight. Because you have come. You see that in verse 6, 7, 8 being repeated, as Jesus being the cornerstone. 6, for in his scripture, the Bible says, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That is a direct quotation from Isaiah 28, verse 16, prophesying about Christ. And many Bible teachers, they said, that time, even though was looking to the time when Jesus is to come, also was describing Israel. Because those who believe in God, the Israel as a nation, so they had trouble with other nations. And God was protecting his own people. They say, like, look, you are rejecting Israel, but this is, you remember the promises that were given, that through Abraham's seed, the whole world will be blessed. And now Jesus said, this applies to him. Jesus himself, not just everybody else. In the first place, Jesus said this in Luke 20, verse 17. When he was speaking to these people, the rulers of Israel. Because he talked to them in a parable. And in the parable, maybe we need to read it together. So he told this parable, 20 verse 9. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away. Or sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated harmfully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. This is the heir, they said. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked them, "What is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone," has become the stone without which no building can stand. We have seen this. Michael's friend, you see, had a sure foundation, isn't it? And so Jesus is saying, if you reject this supreme stone, this chief stone, if you reject it, then there is no future for you. And that is why people who are outside today in our day, who think that they can do without Christ, so they are restoring for themselves really a terrible future before God, because these things will not go without being punished. So rejecting the Son of God. So that is what Jesus is saying. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And for those who have come to acknowledge him and believe in him, they are being built in him. And they are a spiritual house. That is what this man is saying. The prophecy goes back there. And in Isaiah 28, also verse 16, is the same thing. So prophesying about this person, Jesus Christ, that Peter is quoting now, saying to us, that the stone of Isaiah 28:16, and also the stone of Psalms 118, verse 22, is speaking about Jesus himself. And there are benefits in that. What are they? What does that mean to not be put to shame? Actually, the original word, like, you will not run in haste. You will not be forced really to run for your life. That is what this text is saying. So you will have assurance of God's protection. You will have assurance of God's blessings. You have the assurance of God's favor, because those who have rejected him, they will be punished. But you will be accepted. You will be blessed. You will be protected. Because the text here was, this letter was written to a people who were in danger, isn't it? The Christians who were running for their lives, they were scattered, they were persecuted. And now the message was sent to them to encourage them not to lose heart. Even though you are scattered, even though you might face these challenges. And Peter referred to this the other day when we were preaching chapter 1. He said, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and kinds of trials, and many kinds of trials. That is chapter 1, verse 6. But your future is sure. So it doesn't mean that we will not have troubles as Christians, but we are being built on a firm foundation. And we are a body of Christ. And we have different gifts. And that is the benefits of being part of the body. So you come and you to a fellowship. How many times you have come to a fellowship with brothers and with sisters in the Lord, down, and then after that, people may prophesy. You see, and prophecy, I mean, here they can bring a word from the Bible, you see, a word of knowledge that may help you, you see, to believe. And I give you many examples, many times. In my hard times, a friend of mine, some of my friends, they would come and just say a word. I refer to this when I was facing a lot of challenges, like trying to train as a pastor. And then I was just like really faced with choices, whether to give my back fully to the call of God and just do other things and maybe go to university and do further research and things like that. And this friend of mine said to me, "The call of God are irrevocable, isn't it? The call of God are irrevocable." And that has stayed with me to that day. That whatever God begins, he finishes. And God sustained me with that. So being part of the body, being a part of the spiritual house, that means you will enjoy these blessings. We have many testimonies, even in our congregation here. I continually refer to Art's testimony when he first came to this country. And he was helping a lot of young Akka boys who were going through really hard times. And this man, because he's a man of God, called by God to serve. So he put on the website what he was doing. Of course, a minister like that may require support. And a Sudanese man in Singapore, when he's with his wife, they got on board and they supported him for 8 years, paying his rent for 8 years. A spiritual house. A spiritual house that is so vast, that is together furthering God's purposes. I alone, I cannot do more. But my $10 was $10 of thousands of Christians. That will mean 10 thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that can advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, isn't it? I know this also, intercession of Christians being built into this spiritual house is so amazing. The praise of the saints. I know this because I have been into dangerous places. Yesterday only, as I was taking part in the burial of a young man who just passed away just suddenly, a very brilliant young man, a lawyer who has done a lot of his studies and also was really a devout servant of youth in Canberra. He transformed a lot of young people's life there. And yesterday we had people from Canberra. Bunches of them came, from Perth, a guy, and a Scottish young man who was his friend, Nick. And they spoke really well about him. After that, I met my auntie, Sarah Jal, who used to come into our meet. He said, "Oh, my son, when did you come back?" He said, "I was praying for you when I was traveling." And she said this. She said, "I was feeling that your journey was okay. In the spirit, this lady praying for me while I was traveling through uncertainties. At one point, our car broke down in really a serious place. Very dangerous. We had to evacuate just quickly to leave all our luggage on my way from Juba, capital of South Sudan, to Kampala. And people were praying, being built into a spiritual house. These are the blessings that you receive. This, not only that, I'm telling you today is a practical example for us who have come to faith to know the benefits of being part of this house. Again, even in this country, I was just down there, 2002, Clayton train station. There was a young girl, just the weather was very cold. She was wearing clothes rather were not really appropriate for the weather. As a young girl, maybe 17 or 16. And she was just really exposed to cold, and she was just smoking, and we were waiting for the train. And then I look across, and I said, "I am a Christian." And then she said, "I am a Christian too." And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit just touched her. She just broke in tears, and she dropped the cigarettes. Because being part of the spiritual body, being a saved, being a Christian, and her lifestyle does not show that. And the Holy Spirit, the gracious Holy Spirit, reminded her of her preciousness. And she, as she dropped this, she started to shake. And then I came around her and I prayed with her. And I said to her, and I remember to this day, go back to the fellowship. Go back to the spiritual house. Because there, you will be cared for. You will be encouraged. You will be protected. You will realize your spiritual journey as you walk together with the body of Christ. So we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And I will come to this in a few minutes. But I want to finish with this. The fact that this is who you are at this point. This is who you are. And you are not to take this lightly. I know we have many movements. And so that encourage people just to be on your own. And not to see even the mission of the church to be very central to the spread of the gospel. You see, I benefited from the body of Christ when I started to walk. It was this professor of systematic theology, because I didn't have a chance to go to theological college. I finished university as a teacher, and I was working, supporting myself, but so on fire to witness to the people on the streets. And then I would just go to his office. He's a professor of systematics for Princeton. Got his PhD in 1952 from Princeton in USA. He went to be with the Lord last year, this man. He embraced me. He would just open his office wide. He would open all the books and would go through the question. I was really a fast reader, and I loved the books. And so I just learned all that I needed to learn, all the hard questions, theological questions. And so he helped me. And then I would go to remote places. And then from there, I will come back with reports. And then people coming to faith, and then they will dispatch elders who were trained in discipleship, and they would just come and teach. And so that is how I was involved in church planting. I kept moving. Without the body of Christ, I wouldn't be able to do this. My friends were coming, knocking the door of home as a single young man. They were just bringing food and bringing food items I distribute to other people. See, giving me all that I need. That is why, give, you will be given, isn't it? The Bible says that. You need to learn that principle. Give, you will be given. You give away, your friends, they come with a lot of stuff that you will even pass on. So that is the grace of the body of Christ, without which you cannot do much. You see yourself in your brothers and sisters, your value in them. As they live uprightly, you are so encouraged to see them honoring Christ in that way, and you yourself also, you will follow in their footsteps. Jesus himself said, for their sake, for our sakes, he sanctified himself. You see, he kept himself holy. He said to Peter, behind me is Satan. I want to go to the cross to call for myself a people who will live a holy life, who will honor me, who will give glory here on earth to God, who is able to make for himself a holy people, to reflect his character, his goodness, his love, unconditional love. See, unconditional love. Boldness that we could not find anywhere, just only through the Holy Spirit, as we are shown our value. That this life is not our own. So we sing that, isn't it? We've been built into a spiritual house for purposes. And that is who you are. You should be bold about this, and you should give God all the glory and thanks for this. That is why Peter knew this, reminding his readers. Even though you are going through all these troubles, the whole body of Christ is thinking of you. And I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. And the God who has brought you to himself will protect you, isn't it? He will give you all the joy, as I mentioned earlier. Even as you do this, you will greater rejoice. In this salvation, you greater rejoice. It's a continuous tense, present continuous. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in kinds of trials. Are you going through trials? That is not nullifying the fact that you are being built into a spiritual house, into a body of Christ, so beautiful, beautified by Christ himself. And the apostles themselves, they teach this. Apostle Paul, he reminded his readers in Ephesus, one of my favorite verses. He said, being built up yourself in the foundation of apostles and prophets, who prophesied about Christ, the cornerstone. That is what he says. Build yourself up in the prophets, in the foundation, on the foundations that has been laid. Jesus himself, the cornerstone. That is what he said. Last things I want to share with you. So he says, like, we are being gathered as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to be priests. And what do priests do? They offer sacrifices, isn't it? In the Old Testament picture, they were called to offer sacrifices to God for themselves and for the people around them. That was what they were doing, you see. And God actually was accepting that. Even it was provisional, but it was sufficient for them at that time, because they had that faith that when the priests offer offerings, sin offerings, thanksgiving offerings on their behalf, they believe in their heart that God accepts their repentance, accept their offerings, accept their praises. That's what the Old Testament says. because we call them Old Testament saints. And Peter is saying, in a like manner, we have become like these people because we have come to Jesus, the most high priest, the great high priest. We have come now. He has made us with him together to offer sacrifices to our God, the Father. That is why he says we are offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, through Jesus who has brought you to himself, who has forgiven you and gave you eternal life and filled you with his Holy Spirit and invited you to walk with him now to eternity. He says, this is what you do now here on earth. You offer sacrifices. You offer offerings that will be accepted by God. But sometimes we wonder what type of sacrifices we offer to God, isn't it? Even praises. The Old Testament is full of these things. Praising God, the lips, the declaring the glory of God, goodness of God. God accepts this. These are offerings we offer to God. Brokenhearted is an acceptable offering to God. Praying for a brother or a sister is acceptable to God. It's a sacrifice. See? Standing by a brother or sister is a sacrifice to God. Because the sacrifices that were just given so that God atones for our sins or accept us or accept our offerings, because you say, bring offerings to me. And as we bring these things, God is pleased, acceptable to God. Because this is what he wants us to do. Well, I want to say something briefly about those who reject Jesus. Because the rulers in Luke 20, verse 17, Peter applies that to the rulers who rejected Jesus. The rulers and the elders of the people of Israel. Peter, in his address to the Sanhedrin, like the council, the religious council. So Peter said, these were the people prophesied of in the Old Testament. Because they have rejected the cornerstones. These are the people. But actually these people, they will face consequences for their choice of rejecting Jesus. And for everybody who is here today, who is rejecting Jesus, who is not conforming his life to live as Jesus would want them, so they will face consequences. So, but for those who have come, as you have come to him, those who have come, you have been built into this. And you can give thanks to God and praise to him that in his mercy, he shows you. It's not you didn't do it yourself. But through his grace, you have come to realize and to declare Jesus with your mouth and to believe him with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then and Psalm 118, it says, this is marvelous in our eyes that God should save us in this way. Because this is the method God has used to give us salvation through Jesus. And through Jesus. And I said 18:22. So this is shout of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. That is why we stand together and we sing songs of praises to God. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it was marvelous, or it is marvelous in your eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The day Jesus rose again, that is the day that the Lord God himself has confirmed to us that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, being raised from the dead. And if you put your trust in him, you will not be put to shame, but you will grow together as a spiritual house to serve him here on earth and to bring glory to his name, and also for you to defeat Satan and to cast our cares, as we have heard, to cast our cares, for he cares for us as a spiritual house, even as individuals. Have you made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to him? Have you accepted him? Have you rejected the ways of the world? And you accepted the fact that you are being built into a body that is to live differently. You might go to university, you go to workplaces. The Monash Hospital has thousands and thousands of people, some of whom are believers, are part of the spiritual house, you see. And maybe when they meet and they talk among themselves, they identify themselves as one people. That is what happens wherever you go, in the midst of many people. It happened when I was doing IELTS many years ago at Melbourne University. There were many people. And there was just a young girl from Asia, some parts of the world. And we were only two people. We were just testifying to the Lord. And two of us, so this Asian and African guy, you see, together, you see, we were just making a good confession before many people. You see, just like that, because we have realized that we have come to the one, the cornerstone, the one with us whom there is no life in you. There is no building, nothing, you see. So rejoice and stand firm in your faith as you go to university, you go to higher schools. If they want to teach you different doctrine, you have to realize your identity in different ways. No, I've been built into a spiritual house. And I'm confident that my God will care for me. And He is sufficient. Christ is sufficient for me. We sing these songs, isn't it? I pray that they are not just simple songs. They are real songs that we sing out of our hearts. You are being built into a spiritual house. And you are so precious. And that is why Peter earlier alluding to this, saying, love one another from the heart. Because this is what we are. We will always share the same characteristics. Wherever we are scattered. We are strangers. We are not part of this world. We have trials out of righteousness. And we will hear about this later when he will talk about suffering of the part of the body or being a part of a body. You see? So this is very important that we take this to heart today. The Peter's letter to us is so precious. Remember these images that talks about the church. There is no word church here, but talks about the body of Christ in these ways, strangers and a spiritual house. You see, you go, you say, I'm a part of a spiritual house. Part of a spiritual house. Even makes you really live carefully because you are a blessing to your brothers and sisters. You live really responsibly because your actions and your prayers can save others and can help them. Be free, because Jesus said, if you come to me and you believe in me, you will be free, and free indeed. So free indeed in such a way that you live really your life as the world is yours. You see? You will not be terrified by anybody, because the grace of God and the faith that you have in your heart, you see, should give you all the confidence that you treat other human beings as human beings and you yourself as a human being. But what is different is who is in you. That was what I was doing when I was going to Monash University. So I met friends with people who were not Christians. You see, like the people working in the cafe down there. I think Rosie met me one day when I was having a lunch. This young lady, Heather, she was just like really a nice young girl. Very, very outgoing and very respected by a lot of people that she served. She served diligently. I would come and I was just, how are you today? Maybe she had a background, Christian backgrounds, like her families, like many of the Westerners, you know, the great missionaries in the West. You see, they have their children and children who are not Christian today. So just sometimes you remind them of that. So I just talk to them like that as friends, as fellow human beings, but affirming also who you are. And they all knew that. My lecturers, they all knew that. My lesbian professor also knew that. And I would just treat her with all the dignity as a human being, and yet affirming the fact that Christ is the need of the whole world. And one day she looked at me and she just knocked her head. She said, Lam, you want to change the whole world? And I said, yes, I want to change the whole world. And just like that, just be who you are as part of the spiritual house in those places, with confidence, with your head lifted high and praising God and blessing Him, knowing that you are secure, you are protected, and yet affirming who you are and also treating others and creating an opening for you to testify to them why being part of a spiritual body or believing in Christ matters. Yeah, we are called to offer sacrifices of praise. And this is our job today. This is what we need to do. Are we falling short in this area? Are we not engaging in evangelizing the world? We are called to serve the world, to take the gospel to the world. We are called to draw smiles on the mouths of those who are despairing. We are called to fill the tummies that are hungry because we have been privileged enough to have access to the resources that God has around us. Not because we are highly educated or something like that, but because these are our Father's resources. And if we believe and trust in Him, He will open them up for all of us. Even whatever trades you do, you see, in whatever trade you do, being diligent in those, there will be something for you to contribute to the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you read your Bible and pray earnestly, you will be part of the interceding body of Christ. If you have the gift of evangelizing, you will be part of those who are evangelizing. If you have been given wisdom in organizing, like managing things, all these gifts, the Bible says every Christian has a gift to use in the body of Christ. You are a spiritual house. And let us rejoice and be glad in this truth.